We are at the Mishnah on the top of Mem Hei Amud Aleph. Says the Mishnah, Hanachrim ha'ovdim es haharim es hagvaos, hein mutarim umash eleim asurim. So continuing with the theme of idol worship, the idolaters who worship mountains or gvaos, other types of expanses, call them valleys maybe, either way, harim and gvaos are mutar, even if idolaters worship the mountains, you are permitted to get benefit from the mountain. That's what Rashi says. Haharim atzma mutarim lach tov avanim. You can use stones, you can plant whatever you want, even though it is used as a makom to worship. However, mashaleyan asurim, but what's on top of it, of the mountain, would be prohibited. Shenemar lo sachmot kesef izhav alehem. It says, don't covet the kesef and the gold and silver that it's up on them, that is upon them. So that is prohibited, but the mountain itself, even though it is worshipped, it's permissible to benefit from. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Omer Yossi Aglili, writes, Eloheim al heharim, velo heharim Eloheim. It says, the God on the mountain, not the fact that the mountain is their God, Eloheim al hagvaos, velo hagvaos Eloheim. Again, the God on the Gvaos, but not that the Gvaos is God. Umipneima Asherah Asura, and therefore why? And then he asks, why is it that an Asherah tree is then prohibited if it's on the mountain? Bipne Sheyesh Batfisas Yede Adam. As Rashi explains, it's Tfisas Yede Adam. A man planted it. When a person planted it there with the express desire to convert it into Avodah Zarah, to use it for Avodah Zarah, that's a problem. If it was man-made, designed with the intent for idolatry, idol worship, it's prohibited to benefit from. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva comes along and says, Ani ovin ve'adun lefanecha. I'm going to explain this, elaborate a little further. Kol makom she'ata motzi har gavoa giva nisa eitz ra'anan. Anytime you see in the Pesukim, it mentions about a har gavoa, or in a givanisa, a raised giva, or an etra anan, that refers to, that alludes to us, so that should alert us to the fact that Avodah Zarah was present in any of those places. In other words, any mountain expanse of etra anan, there has always been Avodah Zarah, and it is our obligation to destroy that Avodah Zarah. That's what the Torah says very clearly. So here there's an important machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says, like the way I just explained it, that when you worship the mount, if the mountain was worshipped, the mountain does not become asur b'hana, only what's on top of it. In other words, a person who worships the mountain will be chayav misa for doing for avodah zarah, but the mountain itself won't become asur. Rabbi Natam argues with this, and Rabbi Natam says, how could that be? If you're worshipping the avodah zarah, then just like your chayav misa, it has to be that the item itself also needs to be prohibited by avodah zarah, even if it's not movable, even if it's a mountain. It doesn't have to just be simply an idol. The mountain can become the idol. And therefore, Rabbi Natam says you have to read the Mishnah differently, but nevertheless, his understanding is that the mountain and the person who served the mountain would both be, one you can't get benefit from, and one would be chayav misa. The Ri at the end of the Tosfos ends up agreeing with Rashi and says, no, you can separate the two. You can, the idolater can be chayav misa, even though the mountain is still permitted to benefit from. That's number one. Number two, based on what Rabbi Akiva's statement was, Rabbi Akiva said that whenever it talks about these mountains and other and trees and giva nisa, you can assume that there was avodah zarah. So Tosfos asks in three words, says the Yerushalmi asks, well, how could they build the Beis HaMikdash then? They built the Beis HaMikdash, if there was avodah zarah on top of it, how are they able to build the Beis HaMikdash if it was there? You can't get any benefit from you. The mountain itself, fine, but you can't put anything on top of it. There was already avodah zarah there, so you can't get benefit. So Tosfos says, Umasik al pinavi nivnishram. So the Yerushalmi answers there that it was done al pinavi. Perhaps that means that a Navi knew that there was that particular mountain never had Avodah Zarah there. So it's a general rule, but general rule doesn't apply to every single place. There are some places where Avodah Zarah was not found. I'll just begin the Gemara really quickly. So the Gemara says, Rav Yossi HaGlili Hainu Tanakama. Rav Yossi HaGlili and the Tanakama in our Mishnah seem to be superfluous, right? We initially start off in the Mishnah saying that an idolater who serves the mountain is permissible to get benefit from, but only what's on top of it is prohibited. And Rav Yossi HaGlili seems to elaborate, just saying, it says, a god on the mountain, not that the mountain is God. So they're essentially saying the same thing, that yeah, he agrees that the mountain itself is not prohibited to get benefit from, it's only what's on top. So why mention it almost as if they were arguing? Rabbi Yossi HaGlili Hainu Tanakama. Rabbi Bar Chama. So Rabbi Bar Chama says, in the name of Reish Lakish, Tzipui Har Kahar Ike Benau. There is a difference between the two. In terms of glaze, if there's a glaze of gold and silver, let's say, on top of the mountain, does the glaze become as part of the mountain, or is it separate from the mountain? Does it become bottled to the mountain, and therefore it's also not prohibited to get benefit from, or is it considered separate and apart? Tanakana Masavar Tzipui Har Einu Kahar. The Tanakama is of the opinion that the glaze is not part of the mountain, and therefore the mountain itself you can get benefit from, but from the glaze you cannot benefit from, you have to destroy it. He says, no, that the glaze is a bottle to the mountain, and therefore you will be permitted to benefit not only from the mountain, but even from the gold as well. This is actually a similar discussion to Tefillas Kelim, when you're glazing china. So china is earthenware, essentially, so you don't need a tovalip. What if you put a glaze on top of the china? Is the glaze like the, does it become bottled to the china, and therefore you don't need a tovalip? Or is it considered separate on its own entity, and therefore you will have to tovalip? I would say there, machloka says both ways, but if it's just a really thin film of glaze on top of the china, we can, perhaps most people can agree that the tzipui is bottled to the china, and you wouldn't need a tovalit. Certainly, if you tovalit it without a bracha, you can't. You wouldn't hurt yourself.